At one point there, I was like, man, do I got the right message here? Because we're at a real high place right now. How many of you in here would say, I'm not going to look up when I ask this question, but how many people in this room would want to be a better Christian? Now, if you're not a Christian, that's something that you got to work out between you and the Lord. It's a place where you got to come to repentance and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. You have to believe that He is the only begotten Son of God. You've got to repent of your sins and ask Him to be the Lord of your life and let Him. You got to believe in His grace. You got to believe in His mercy and accept His leadership in your life. That's what you got to do to be saved. But if we're saved, then this message is for you. Because I want to be a better Christian. Not better than you, a better Christian for me. A better Christian between me and God. Ultimately, I'm striving to get closer to Jesus. That's our goal. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm trying to love you. I'm trying to impress God. I'm trying to get close to God. And Paul put 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, in our Bibles to give us a very clear understanding that just because you're saved doesn't make you a good Christian. Matter of fact, it doesn't even make you a Christian. It makes you saved. Being a Christian means someone has mistaken you as a little Christ. They called them at Christ, they called them Christians at Antioch first. They had gotten rid of Jesus at Calvary, haven't seen Him since the resurrection and since He went on high, and now they've seen some people that are acting like Him. So they said, these people are Christians. Notice they didn't call themselves Christians. Let somebody else call you one. Let somebody else mistake you for one. Wouldn't that be something? But Paul is going to give you some words in here, and you're going to hear one little word a lot. It's A-L-L, all. Notice how many times he says it. Amen? Let's read the first verse together. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. I want y'all to draw this together with me, at the understanding of what's happening here. He said that we all came out of Egypt together. They all came out under the cloud. They all followed Moses through the Red Sea and were through Moses' baptism. And guess what? Who couldn't do that? Y'all never mind. Yeah. Hey, who couldn't do that? Frogs. Y'all remember the frogs? Remember the invasion of the frogs into Pharaoh's home? Frogs everywhere. There's two places that you didn't want frogs, and he had them. Frogs in the bedroom, frogs in the kitchen. I don't want frogs anywhere in my house. But if they're in the bedroom and in the kitchen, we've got issues. Right? Y'all know that message is when do you want them to move? One more night. One more night with the frog. Y'all remember that? Remember the water was turned to blood? The one that we never preach about, hardly ever talk about, is a darkness that you can feel. A darkness that you can feel. God allowed the Egyptians to spend some time in the dark. And the whole while, all the children of Israel were living in light. Now, y'all get what I'm saying? They were down there in their little camp, in their little area, and the Egyptians had them as slaves, and they were living down there in the light. Have you ever had the light turned on in your life, and everybody else is in a dark place? Amen? Check this out. I'm telling you, man, that's how that is. They were living in the light when everybody else was in the darkness they can feel. And then Jesus did something neat. He said, go get the Passover lamb, right? Y'all remember the Passover lamb? And take the blood and put it on the doorpost. And when the death angel comes through and it sees the blood, what's it going to do? It's going to pass over that home. Did it matter what the people or the residents of the house were doing? Did it say they were good people or bad people? Were they rich people or poor people? Did they have designer clothes or non-designer clothes? Did they have good standing or not a good standing? What was the death angel looking for? The blood. And when it didn't see the blood, it passed by. Man, ain't that good? They seen all that. Then they stood at the edge of the Red Sea. And God said, go over. And he went behind them and protected them, right? Hey, listen, I'm being honest with you. Salvation is a crossroads, but sometimes salvation is a pretty simple choice. God, I can't preach like that anymore. Sometimes salvation is a pretty easy choice. You're standing at the crossroads, and I got this weird, vivid idea, and here you can see this straightforward path, and it leads to Christ, and it's a well-lit street, and restaurants on every side, and places to live, and man, you're like, hey, that looks good. But you look on the street that you've been on, it's Elm Street. Some of y'all get that, some of y'all won't. Amen. Some dude standing down at the end of that street with a mask on and a machete standing there just looking at you. And you're like, I really don't want to go back down Death Street. I'd like to try Life Street out. Amen? Is there anybody in here experienced that? Paul said that's what it was like. All the children of Israel were coming out of bondage. They were slaves. But they seen the mighty hand of God deliver. They had been slaves for 400 years. And all of a sudden, God is marching them through this baptism. Find me with a cloud in front of them, a defense behind them. And he's walking through dry ground. And they're looking at the water on both sides. And they're like, hallelujah, praise God. Then they get on the other side. And it's a cloud by day and fire by night. And a rock shows up. Wherever they stop the camp, a rock shows up. It's a representative of Jesus Christ. This rock would appear and living water would come out of it in the desert. And every day, manna would fall. Except on the Sabbath, and a double portion would come the day before. They were lit, man. They were doing great. All of them. So you say it and you say, all of them. All of them. Listen, all the people. Paul said, guess what? That was a type and shadow. That's a class. That's a teacher for us. If all of them came through like we're saved. See, we came. God rescued me. I was a slave to my sin. I was in bondage. And God broke the yoke of all of my sin in my life. And he came in just like the Passover lamb and shed his blood over my life. That I'm not a good person, but I'm covered by the blood. That I'm not judged. I'm preserved by the blood of Christ. But he said, we can all do like they did. We can see they had the fire, they had that cloud, and they had that fire, and they had that water, and they had that food, that bread that fell from heaven. Jesus said, I am the manna, I am the bread, I'm that one to come down. They had all that, we have all that. They had all of it, we have all of it. He said, it'll teach you something. You can be saved, you can be forgiven, but you can lose focus. You can lose focus because guess what? After you get saved and you come out of that and you say, well, man, that was awesome. And then you can fall into a place where this is just normal. This is just normal. Yeah, God came down and done a miraculous thing 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 6 months ago, a year ago. And man, it was awesome. But guess what? That's not the end of your testimony. If your testimony starts out and ends with 20 years ago, if it starts and finishes without an altar, that's good. It's a good start. But your testimony should say, man, what today? That fresh manna fell today. That rock appeared today. Amen? Come on, man. I don't know. I guess it's Wednesday night and you're tired. But I want to tell you this. Man, if Jesus is not awesome today like he was the day you got saved, guess what? It's time for you to get stirred up again. If you're not careful, you can start to fall away like all of them did. The reason why you're struggling with sin again, the reason why you're having the troubles you're having, is because it's not because you're not saved. It's because you just felt comfortable with God now. It's not that big of a deal anymore. Yeah, we get up. There he is. And I point up, but can I say it this way? I know I'm forgiven. My sin doesn't remain. I don't chase after my sin. I don't long for my sin. I don't feel the guilt and the shame of my sin anymore. And guess what? After a while, that can get pretty complacent. I don't have to read my Bible. I don't have to pray. I really don't have to go to church. Why is it? You know what? Church is overrated. Bunch of hypocrites down there anyway. Listen, I don't go to the church for the hypocrites or not the hypocrites. I go to church because I know Jesus is in that place. And if I worship him while I'm there, he'll appear. And guess what? He'll show out in my life. I don't read my Bible because I want to. I'm reading my Bible because there was a man, the author, who loved me, wrote a letter, and told me how he loves me. And sometimes it gets hard. It's hard. I'm reading too, and I'm like, man, I've read this 100 times. I don't know, you know. So, but sometimes every once in a while, God will open up something, and I'm like, oh my God, how he loves us. You know what God did right here? He did it right here in 1 Corinthians 10. He was saying, look, if you ever find yourself in a situation where you're taking for granted what you believe and what you know, even though if you've got a great testimony, God, you can't blow the Israelites, the Jews' testimony away. I mean, how much better of a testimony could you have? Well, I was down in Israel. We're 400 years of lineage of slaves. And God showed out, man. He came in. He crippled a nation that we were living in with gnats, with fleas, with locusts. See, can I help you? See, some of y'all get wore out by an enemy that you think's pursuing you. God wore the Egyptian army out. Some of y'all, I've watched movies my whole life about this army that's pursuing after the children of Israel. They're like the best, strongest soldiers of all the world, chasing down the poor, pitiful Israelites who are trying to cross the Red Sea. Are you out of your mind? God has absolutely, made these people insane. I guarantee you half those soldiers were riding going, I wish they would get out of here. You don't believe what I'm saying? They lived in the dark. They lost their crops. They lost their animals. Hell destroyed about every animal they had. The ones that did have them are sick. Guess what? They spent their time in the darkness, so dark that they went crazy. No, come on. If some of you don't start saying amen, I'm going to come get you right here. Listen, what I'm saying, they lost their firstborn. God, y'all can't even handle that. That's a mounted army with a broken heart. Because I don't care how tough you are. If you've got a child and then the next morning you ain't got a child, you might be angry and you might want to get revenge. But your heart's broken. You're not going to be a great soldier. You're going to be tore out of the frame. Plus you're a little crazy, you're hungry, and the beast you're on. See, some of you are still running from something that's already been defeated, but you won't let it happen. Never mind. You'd rather dine on death than live in Christ Jesus. We'd rather dine on death than live in life, and life abundantly. They did all, verse 3, and they did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. neither let us commit a fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000. That's 23,000 people. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these happened unto them for an example, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are to come. Shoo! Millions of people, millions of Israelites came out of bondage. Many of those people died in the wilderness. You know why? They took their eyes and focus off the one who saved them, and they started focusing on the people and the things of the wilderness. They were saved and coming out of their bondage. They had a promised land to go to. And guess what? Somewhere between the bondage and coming out of their bondage, in the wilderness, they got their eyes off the one who saved them. And they started looking at and lusting after and wanting what the world had instead of what God had for them. Listen, if you're a born-again Christian here, your final destination is heaven. If you get your eyes, Paul says right here, this is an example. This is a sign to show you, look, don't fall victim to looking around and wanting what the world wants and doing what the world does, or you will fall in the wilderness. And God ain't going to be happy with you. There's a lot of stuff in there. Lust of your heart. Man, how do you beat that? Lust of your heart. You draw close to God and ask God to bring people and things through Him to you. No, don't write that down. That wouldn't help you if you wrote a note down every once in a while. You hear what I just said? Make people come through God. If they come through God, guess what? If they come through Christ, if you pray for the person instead of lusting after them, ask God to give you a love for them and a love for you, and they love God, guess what? You focus on the relationship and not the physical content. And all of a sudden, you're in love with somebody, not something. I'll preach, if you're not careful, we're going to pick around and get into something. Because some of you fall in love with the thing you can do, instead of the person you're in a relationship with. Oh, she's pretty. She's hot. He looks good. He's got a good job. He's got money. Well, why is this? Why is that? Guess what? If you look at them through the lens of Christ, you know what you'll say? I love him because God has put a love for him in my heart. I love him because God has put a thing in my heart. Y'all can't handle this. Because guess what? She ain't always going to look that way. He ain't always going to look that way. He might not have that job next week. Guess what? Are you going to be in love with them if it all falls apart? That's how you beat lust. Ask God to bring them through you. Because listen, some of y'all are afraid. What if they walk out? What if they leave? Some of the best things that's ever happened to you in your life left. Amen? Some of the best things that ever happened in your life walked out. Somebody shut the door on you. Somebody said, don't come back. And you were like, man, this is the worst thing. 5 years later, you look down, thank God. Garth Brooks had a song, thank God for unanswered prayers. I don't get onto it, but I'm just saying. I want y'all to see this. Idolaters. How can we keep from becoming idolaters? Oh, it's easy. I don't worship gods. Kevin, don't worry about it. Yeah, but you know, back then, they had gods. They were like bulls and hawks. Amen? And animals like bears and tigers. Oh, wait a minute. That sounds just like some sports teams, right? Amen? And we got more passion, we got more love, we got more zeal for things that we can put our money and our time and our effort, and we can talk about them so freely and so easily. Oh God, you ought to see my team. They were so good, and they were down, and they done this, and they done that. And I was so mad, I was so passionate. And somebody said, how about Jesus? I don't like to talk about Jesus too much because I'm not that kind of a person. I'm kind of withdrawn, and I don't like to talk about him because I'm just not that kind of Christian. You're trying to put too much pressure on me. Yeah, but let's talk about it. Oh man, you ought to see the man. He slammed dunk right in his face. I mean, knocked him down. It was a great move. Hey, could you give your testimony? No, I can't, man. I'm just not that kind of person. I don't like to get out in front of people and say weird stuff. You hear what I'm saying? What are your idols? And some of y'all are sitting here right now going, I don't like sports. Yeah, but you like that fishing. Oh, I'm going to get everybody now. You like that fishing. Well, if you use this kind of bait, you could use this kind of line, you could use this kind of lure. If you got this kind of motor, and you got this kind of boat, and you hook up, you got to get over on this side of town. He said, where'd you catch the fish? I caught him right in his mouth because I ain't telling you about my little sweet little hole where I got to call the fish at. Right? You're passionate about all your stuff, and you know how to do it, right? Guess what? Some people's idols are fish and fishing. Some idols are hunting. Women are like, yeah, I ain't liking sports, and I ain't liking hunting, and I ain't liking fishing. Some of you like to shop. Oh, you're passionate. You're passionate. You'll fight somebody at the grocery mart over that thing that's on sale. You'll run somebody over with that cart. You'll be rude in the parking lot. Hey, you think you are, right? You tell everybody, really, where'd you get the discount? You go down there to the Walmart, and you go around, and I got them things for sale, and I got a little, here's one of those, and you go, and you get, and you'll get a deal. If they don't give it to you, you let them know, right? Because you're passionate about that, because you do that. That's what you do, right? Are you that passionate about Jesus? Are you that passionate about your testimony? That's how you beat idolatry. He is God. And he, listen, y'all don't like this, and I don't like saying it. It's 2018. It hurts our heart when we say it. God is a jealous God. He is. If you put another, listen, you know, some of y'all give me a sideways look right there. Y'all say, I don't like that jealous. Listen, if I made something and designed it and saved it and died for it and rose again for it, and if I'd made it with my, if I'd spoken into existence, if I knew it from when I was formed in the womb and it didn't worship me, I'd be kind of upset about it. Amen? Was God so upset? He made you. He designed you. He made you with everything but one thing. I've heard this my whole life, but I like to preach it anyway. He made you with everything but one thing. You was missing Jesus. I don't know if it's a carb, I don't know if it's a cutout in your heart or your mind. There's just one thing missing. And I love Jesus, man. He's good because I remember when I first heard about him when I was 6 and 7 and 8 and 19 and 20 and 25 and 28. I remember hearing about him. Every time I heard about him, he got all over me. I tried to kick him. I tried to ignore him. I tried to forget him. I tried to, no, I don't want him. But there was something in here. There was something in here that said, that's what you need. You know it's real. You know you want that. You know that's going to happen. Boy, and I fought it almost my whole life. Boy, but that day. Amen, that day. That day. But ever since that day, Paul says like this, I've been trying to apprehend that thing that apprehended me. Are you still pursuing him because he pursued you? Are you still trying to look for that living water? Are you still trying to pursue that bread? Are you still trying to say, Lord, can we do it again and again and again? I don't want to get saved. I know I don't have to be saved, but praise God, I would like to be baptized in my tears again. When's the last time you've been baptized in your tears again? When's the last time you got ugly at church? So ugly that nobody knew what was going on with you. He got beside you and said, is there anything we can do? There ain't nothing you can do about this. Pray with me. Amen? I like to see somebody get so messed up in church afterwards they've had to explain what happened. Never mind. Y'all ever been there? Somebody's sitting there going, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you need to. You need to. You need to let go and let it happen. Well, that'd be weird. Yeah, it'd be weird, but it'd be fun. Let's say it again. But wait a minute. Verse 10. Neither murmur ye at some... No, verse 11. Jump down to verse 11. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are to come. Verse 12. Wherefore let him thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. This is good. Now we're standing. Listen, some kind of important stuff right here. Okay, y'all ready? Y'all said you want to be better Christians. I heard you when I first got here. All right, so listen to me real quick. Let's really get into this thing. Y'all remember when I said we were at a crossroads in our salvation? It was easy. Remember Elm Street? Michael standing there with his mask. And I get them mixed up. Freddie and Michael get mixed up. It's been a long time. But you know what I mean. That killing machine, you know, and it chase, and you wanted to go down that path of salvation. And you know, you had all kinds of signs and wonders and all kinds of stuff. Now I'm talking about a different crossroads. Amen? Different crossroads. Now this crossroads, man, we all run into this thing. And if you say you don't, we're going to have an altar call for you after this service. You can come pray. Because you're lying. You know what this crossroads is? I'm saved. You come to that crossroads, and I can do anything I want to do. or I can follow after Jesus with all my heart and my soul. No, listen. It's not that easy, guys. It's not that easy. It's not. Because some of you sitting right here right now, you'll think, man, oh yeah, brother, I do it. No, listen. Listen. You can go and get into Jesus, or you can get into the game. That game's, oh man, you can spend 4 hours watching that game, and time just goes by, and you're real tired, right, after work. So it's, you can connect to that. I can get with you. All right. Or I can just go out and work in my yard and chill out and hang out and lay in the hammock and just do that. There's another option at this crossroads. And then there's my kids and my wife and my family. Now, we've got some other plans that we want to spend. We want to have fun. We want to do this. But we ain't going to mention Christ while we're doing it. And y'all don't like me right now, but I don't care. I'm not preaching for y'all to like me anyway. I'm trying to help you out because I'm trying to help me out. Because as a Christian, as years go by and times go by, we can start to say, I don't really need that anymore. I don't need to read every night. I don't need to pray every night. I don't need to get close to God every night. I don't need church every Wednesday and every Sunday. I don't need that. You know what I really need is God got me a normal life again. So why don't He blessed me with this normal life. So I guess He just wants me to live a normal life. God never wanted you to ever live a normal life again. He wanted you to live a radical life. A crazy life for Him. A life where you're on fire and your desire is to seek Him who shook you out of the deepest, darkest pits that you were in when you were a slave and you didn't even know how to live, and God came and got you. And you know what? And some of you say, well, that wasn't that bad. Guess what? You were the worst of all, because guess what? You didn't even know how bad it was. Some people, it's an easy choice. I ain't got no food. I got no money. I got no bed. I got no home. Yes, Jesus. Some of you are like, I have a home. I got food. I got a cook. I got everything. And you know what? It's hard to say, well, Jesus, I need you. I can't see my need. Man, we come to that crossroads in our lives. And Paul said, be careful. Be careful at this crossroads. Because you, man, this is good. Because you think you're standing. And you're not. You think you're standing. You think you're somebody. You believe. You tell people what you've done. But you haven't felt God, seen God, experienced God, walked with God in a long time. And you're still living off something that happened so long ago. That one I had an experience with God. Could you imagine if you told your wife that? If your husband that? Or your kids that? Well, we brought them from the home from the hospital. Really? That's when they were born. They're 18. Well, you ought to have seen them down at the hospital. That was a mess. Yeah, I know. But have you had any experience with them lately? Yeah, great experiences. Awesome experiences. That's what God wants. Because next thing you know, you're just talking about stuff that happened to you instead of stuff that is happening to you. It's hard for sin to creep in. And things, see, can I preach this back just a little bit? Can y'all handle this? If you don't grow in Christ and learn in Christ and seek Christ, it's easy to fall back to it's easy to fall back to slave mentality. Amen? See, my old man, he's been deactivated, but he can be activated easily. Because if I ain't feeding him, I ain't feeding my spiritual man, but my other man sitting over there goes, and if both of them are weak, the one that's been around longest say, hey, I got this. I can do this. I'll show you how. Amen? I wish we could be real honest with ourselves right now. We don't do this in church very much. But our old man, when we don't feed our spiritual man, he starts to take over. And the first things you start hearing is some murmuring, and some complaining, and some bitterness. No, it ain't cussing at first. It ain't threatening first. It's little bitter things. Amen? It's little bitter things, little anger, little complaining. You ain't married. You ain't nothing. You did it and you don't do that. You know what that is? That's people that are not focused on Christ. Because if you'll focus on Christ, you'll find your true order. you'll learn to cover her and she'll love, learn to cleave to you. God, that would be so good if I'd write that down. Kevin, get this. She'll learn, you'll learn how to cover her, that's a C word, and she'll learn how to cleave. Cover and cleave. Right? But if you don't do that, then you, oh, come on, you don't cover and she don't cleave. Amen? You don't cover, you expose. Right? You expose her to the enemy. Amen? Well, then she don't, then she's not your helpmate. She's not the person that's come alongside of you to be a helpmate. Guess what? Then she's fighting against you. Guess what? You're not covering her. She's not cleaving to you. And the enemy is just wearing you both out. Let's close this out. I want to show you something. It's really neat. Y'all ready? This verse right here gets brutalized in the church more than any other verse. And we're going to get it right. Can I tell you where I first heard this verse and how bad it was? One of my best friends in high school passed away, and his mom, we were at the funeral, and some lady come and grabbed her by the hands and said, "Don't worry, sis, God will never put more on you than you can handle." And she said, "No, I ain't kidding, this is a long time ago, it's 40 years, she goes, get out of my face, please. God don't hear that." I was like, this is the most real moment I've ever had in my life, because she said, get out of my face, I don't hear that. Because that's not what it says. Amen? Can I? Y'all don't want me to go there, but I will. I'm going to. I'll get in a verse in a minute. There's going to be some things that happen to you in this life that you can't handle. You absolutely can't handle it. And God will let it set square on your life. No, you don't like to hear that. We won't hear it at church. God will let something sit down straight on your life and you'll say out of your mouth, "Oh God, this is more than I can handle." And he'll say, "Yep." And you know what? He might let that thing sit for a while until you start singing again. No, you don't know what you're, I ain't talking about singing. I ain't talking about, some of y'all, you'll sing. I ain't talking about singing. I'm talking about worshiping. "Oh God, that you slay me, I'll still love you, I'll still praise you. Oh my God, that you take everything I got, you're still God." Listen, I love to preach this, I love this. Worship in the Bible, it's the first time it's ever mentioned. It runs a plumb line through the Bible. The first time worship's ever mentioned is where Abraham and Isaac were going up the mountain and he was going to slay his son. And he said, "Me and the lad go yonder to worship." Golly, you think worship is how you feel? Goosebumps and we feel good. Worship sometimes is when you can't. You know you can't. But you know He can. And even if He can't, and even if He won't, you'll still worship Him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, if He don't, we still ain't doing what you're doing. Even though God don't, if He don't. Right? Sometimes you got to say, "God, I don't know why that you think so much of me." Y'all don't like that kind of preaching either. "I don't know why you think so much of me." Because we've been reading too many Christianity of the day where blessed life means God's in it and a struggling life means God's out of it. The most righteous man I ever read about in the Bible was Job. And he just kept putting one thing on Job after another. What you got to understand is when he puts stuff on you, what he's saying is, you can handle it. If I put it over here on this one, they'd crumble in a heartbeat. I was listening to a guy. He's a dear friend of mine. His brother has been mentally challenged his whole life. He was riding with him the other day and he looked over at him and he said, "I wonder why God allowed this to happen to you and not me." And he said, "There's only a few minutes of clarity every once in a while." He looked over at him and said, "Because God knew you couldn't have handled it. You'd have killed yourself a long time ago." He said, "I've had to fight it and I'm still here." Woo! Hey, listen, sometimes every once in a while when you're going through a battle, you might want to lift your hand up every once in a while and God say, "God, I know I can't handle it. I know it's you. It's going, but praise God, I'm glad it's on me and not on somebody else." Amen? Oh, come on. Y'all ready? Let's get in the Word. 1 Corinthians 10:13, we'll be done right here. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to a man. Okay, y'all good right there? So stop lying. Amen? Stop lying. You ain't going to be tempted no more than you can resist. This is temptation. This ain't trouble. This is temptation. Okay, let's get the rest of it. Y'all ready? Because some of y'all are going to say, well, I couldn't help me. I made a mistake. I messed up. I couldn't. No, that ain't it. I could give you a... There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to a man. But God is faithful. Whew. That's a whole another 30-minute message right there. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Listen, make this one of your life verses. When you're being tempted and tried, and I'm talking about temptation, the devil knows you and your flesh knows you. Amen? You are only going to be tempted with things that you are tempted to do. I hate when people say, I don't know why a boy struggles with that. And ain't, but if you find out what he's tempted with, amen, or if you find out what she's tempted with, whew, God, I wish I could dig around in that. It's easy for me to look at somebody and say, why in the world does he keep drinking? And they can turn around and look at you and say, why does he keep eating? Why does that old boy keep using heroin? Why does he keep using crack cocaine? Why do you keep looking at pornography? Man, we should have left 20 minutes ago. I'd had a lot more friends. Amen? Why does he struggle with this kind of addiction? Well, why do you struggle with the fact that you can't stop talking about everybody else? But I don't talk about... Well, okay, why do you struggle with letting God be in control and you're not in control? But God can't run the church like I do. No, He can't. Y'all ready for the answer? When you're being tempted with the thing that you can't stop doing. When you're being tempted with the thing that you can't stop doing today, tonight, right now, this day. You've got to start looking for the escape, not looking at the temptation. You hear what I just said? God will make a way of escape. You've got to look for it. Because if you stay with the temptation, the thing that's tempting you, if you stay and conversate with it, if you stay and look at it, if you stay and listen to it, you will do it. You've got to look for where the exit. God said, I'll make a way, but you got to look for the way. Can I help you a little bit more? The way is usually early. I'll say it again. The way is usually really early in the process. I really want to do that. Can I give you another way out of it? You ready, Mark? What's this? You know what one of the ways is? One of the biggest ways out usually is? Tell somebody. It's hard to follow through with something that you're lusting after if you've done ratted yourself out. Hey, honey, what are you doing? Well, I was about to go up in the room and shut the door and look at stuff that I wasn't supposed to look at. Well, I guess we're not going up there. Amen? Amen? Well, right now, I was about to go down to the ATM and withdraw the last $100 out of our savings account, and I was going to take it and go get some drugs and get high. You're not leaving the house! You hear me? Hey, will you help me? I'm really hating on my sister or my brother at church, and all I want to do is beat them down with some words. Could you help me? You know what? Your conversation will get sweeter and sweeter after you say that. Never. We ain't going to try that, are we? You hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? You got to look early. You got to look for the escape early. And usually it's this thing right here. Who confesses our faults one to another. Because it takes the momentum. It takes the momentum out of lust. It takes the momentum out of temptation. And what you're professing. You know, will you look weak? Yeah. Will it look weird? Yeah. Will it look a whole lot better when you're still married? Yes. Will it look a whole lot better when you still got that $100 in your bank account and your wife's not leaving? Yes. Right? Will it look a whole lot better when one of your kids don't open their mouth and say, "Oh yeah, mom and them at home, when they talk about you, they really talk about you." Amen? We walk over and slap the kids and, "What are you talking about?" You understand? They don't know what they're talking about. You hear me? Early, early, early. I don't want to look weak. I don't want to look foolish. You don't look good on the side of the road doing those exercises. You don't look good in a busted magazine. Amen? You don't look good in divorce court. You don't look good when you don't have a car. Amen? Let's all stand. Let's come get a song of invitation. Hope it's been a help to you.